Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has a different threshold. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's story contains spooky imagery, mentions of death, and heights. If all of that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian! You ready? Okay. Picture it. A lonely open prairie stretches out in front of you, a crescent moon resting in the starry night sky. It's quiet and peaceful. A gentle breeze rolls across the tall grass, and then out of the corner of your eye, you see a glow. It's faint at first, but as you focus, the shimmering glow gets brighter. In the heart of the glow, you see an outline of a woman, long dark hair billowing behind her. Then the calm is broken by a shrill scream strong enough to break glass. Killian? Who is this creature?
The Badlands Banshee.
The Badlands Banshee! You excited?
Yes!
Because this is actually a cryptid that both of us don't know too much about, right?
Yeah, all I know that she has blood-curdling scream and can melt off your face.
That's basically all I know. All right, you ready? So if before we dive in a little bit deeper into the Badlands Banshee.
Or before we get our faces melted right off.
And before we even get into what the Badlands are, do you know what a banshee is? Just like a straight-up banshee.
A banshee is a thing that has a blood-curdling scream like this.
That was pretty good. So, you're right, but like, okay, here, I'm going to give you a little more information.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Banshees come from Ireland and are believed to be the fairy folk.
I thought that banshees were from the forest.
Well, they are. They're just like the forests of Ireland.
I thought they were in the forest. Okay, well, that does make sense because there is a banshee in one of the Christmas movies, M.I.T.
Okay. Banshee actually translates to woman of the fairy mound because they appear
like
on
a fairy queen.
Okay. Because they appear on the top of a small hill, cliff sides, floating above houses, and they can basically appear anywhere.
Yeah, so just like a yodel.
Okay, so sit down. What does a banshee look like?
Banshee looks like the longest haired woman ever.
Okay, so the typical Irish description of what they is that they have long flowing hair, so you're right, and wear a gray cloak over a green dress, and that their eyes are red from their never-ending crying. Most descriptions have the banshee wearing some kind of flowing dress and a face frozen in an eternal scream.
I know all of that.
Oh, okay. They tilt their head back and scream into the night. But do you know what their scream means?
Their scream means, I think they mean help.
Kind of. Okay, it's a herald that death is coming. Either the person who hears the scream or someone they are close to is going to meet an unsavory end. So if you heard a banshee screaming, it would mean that you or someone that you love or you are close to is going to die. It's called like an omen.
I don't want that to happen to Azalea.
Oh, that's very nice, your friend. That's very nice. Well, have you heard a banshee screaming recently?
Nope. The only screams I ever heard in my life were June screams.
Yes, and June is, while a crazy cat, not a banshee. So you're good. Don't worry about it.
I know. She just has the loudest banshee scream.
She does have a loud banshee scream. So typically, banshees
are... I think that's where a banshee would live. On your shirt.
the forest on my shirt. Okay. So typically, banshees are created when a person dies in a tragic way, and the trauma from their death is what propels them to become some sort of super ghost or a fae. Today, we are going to talk about an American banshee, though, one that lurks in the vast confines of the Badlands National Park in South Dakota.
I think that's way farther than Cartsville.
Yes. So are you ready to learn about the Badlands?
Yes, ma'am.
Do they sound like a good place?
No. They sound like a bad, a terrible place.
Well, yes, okay. So they get their name from the Lakota Native Americans who named this region the Maquoseka or Badlands because the area is so rocky, flat, and open with large red and white stone mountains springing out of the earth. Barely any water, and worst of all, it's freezing cold in the winter and scary hot in the summer. Basically, it's a very difficult place to live.
What do you mean, like, scary hot?
Like, way hotter than you've ever felt it be hot here.
I think it's like this hot.
Yeah. So, the Badlands are home to the Lakota Native Americans who lived there for hundreds of years before French, and then new Native American settlers, came in and disrupted their way of life. The Badlands are currently a national park in South Dakota. Speaking of national parks, this is the first one that we have covered, isn't it? It's like the first national park we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bring this up because national parks...
The park that me and Daddy go to.
Dunbar Cave?
No, not that park.
That is a national park, though, isn't
Rotary
it?
Rotary Park.
I don't know that Rotary Park is a national park. Isn't Dunbar Cave a national park, though?
State Park.
Mommy was very wrong.
Mammoth Cave and the Smoky Mountains are the two national parks you've been to.
Yeah, you've been to when we went to the cave, that was a national park.
Yeah, okay. So I bet there's a bench.
No, this banshee lives strictly in the Badlands National Park, which you've never been to.
I don't want to ever go.
Okay, that's up to you. So the reason why...
Because I want to get my face melt up off for years.
Okay. I'm bringing up national parks because they have all sorts of strange kind of secrets. And some national parks have cryptids hanging out inside of them. Did you know that? Do you know why, maybe?
I don't know.
Because national parks are massive areas of land that are allowed to just be wilderness, and very few people go very deep inside the open woods. They kind of just stick to the trail. So it seems to be a safe place for the beasts and cryptids that we talk about for them to hide.
And I think that
Did you forget your thought?
What was the thirsty yeti named?
You're talking about Bigfoot?
Yeah, Bigfoot. Oh. I think Bigfoot lives there.
Oh, in a national park? Yeah, for sure.
And two, I think that...
He lives in a couple national parks, actually.
And how many?
Remember we went to the Bigfoot Museum, we saw that map, there was Bigfoots, all over the place.
Yeah, also there were yetis all over the place.
Yes, yetis tend to stay where it's a little bit colder, though.
Yeah, they stay, in Alaska, they stay in...
Well, today's episode is not about the Yeti or the Bigfoot, so can we get back to the Badlands Banshee, please? Okay. So, enough about national parks, because I'm sure we're going to talk about more in the future. Do you want to hear the legend of the Badlands Banshee?
I think this will make me scream and melt off my face.
Nah, it won't. You're good. Legend says that the Badlands Banshee was once a Lakota Native American woman who was known for her beauty. It is said that a group of new Native American It is said that a new group of American settlers attacked her and chased her through the night to the watchdog Butte.
That kind of sounds like Groot.
Yes. To the watchdog Butte area of the Badlands. There, at the hands of the settlers, she met a sad and terrible end. So we know from Irish folklore that a banshee can be formed when a person meets a terrible end, right? So that lines up with how the Badlands Banshee came to be. But what does she do now?
She warns people about their terrible ends.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. So very few people survive.
So they learn their lesson about being mean, about not being mean.
Well, they can't really learn a lesson because she's telling them that they're going to die. So listen, hold on, listen. Very few people survive long enough to tell the tale of the Badlands Banshee, but hikers, campers, and park rangers can hear her shrieks long into the night, and they know that some unlucky soul has met, or will soon meet, their end. On average, 15 people die a year at the Badlands National Park.
Well, that's good, because that's not, because 15 is not the biggest number.
Well, you're right, it's not a huge number, but also we would hope that maybe zero people would die in the national park, but I understand where your brain is at. And most of the time, the deaths are preceded by the banshee's wails late into the night. Here's a little story about what it would be like if you were to encounter the Badlands Banshee. Ready? The summer night air rolls across the rocky earth. A sharp cliffside sits just feet in front of you. From up here, you can see the other buttes are painted with the silvery moonlight, making the stripe of yellow and red cliffs almost shimmer. Taking in the beautiful sight in front of you, a soft glow appears to your right. And as you focus on it, you can see the light fade. And standing on top of the cliff adjacent to you, you see a woman. She wears a tattered gray dress that's caught the wind, billowing and pulling violently in the breeze. Even though she is hundreds of feet away, you somehow can see her face, clear as if she was right in front of you. Her face is long and sad, her eyes red as streams of tears run down her face. She moves her mouth, working to form words. Silent as the wind, she tries to say something. She's trying to say something to you. You step closer, 1 foot at a time, entranced by this woman who has now raised her hands, slowly beckoning you closer. Silent as her words are, you hear the high-pitched sound of a violin beginning to play. You're caught, almost as if in a spell, as you step closer to the edge of the cliff, unable to stop yourself. You have to get closer. You have to get to the woman. Nothing can stop you now. Just as your toe kicks a piece of rubble off the cliff, sending the small stone falling, the woman is gone. You are free from her spell. The sound of the violin has mysteriously stopped too. You take a heavy breath. You're free from the spell. Then you turn from the cliffside and the woman has appeared behind you. Her flesh begins to crawl as her jaw snaps wide and her throat transforms into a deep pit of darkness. Her screams shatter your mind as you step back. 1, 2, 3 steps too many. What do you think happened? You took 3 steps too many. What do you think happened to you? No, your face didn't melt off. What do you think happened? You fell off the cliff.
No, I fell into her...
legend be gone.
The pit in her neck.
You think you fell on? Oh, you think you fell into the pit in her neck? That's a good theory, but I think what happened is you stepped right over the edge of the cliff. Spooky, right?
Yeah, that's in a Scooby-Doo.
Oh, okay. What do you think was strange about the story? Like, besides the banshee attack and the banshee just appearing behind you, what was the strangest part for you?
The strangest part for me that I did a dumb thing in the story. Just stepped into the glib for my dad.
But you know what? You didn't, because in the story... You fell under a complete spell because did you hear those violins? Mm-hmm. The violins made you fall into a spell so you couldn't help it.
Oh, so the violin hypnotized me?
Basically, and then her screams, you went right over, man.
Did it scare me? And I was like, ah!
Yes, it was. So the violin was kind of creepy, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it sounded like this.
Sure. Sounds like whatever you want it to. So there is a second story, being that it haunts the Badlands. What? No, I'm reading wrong.
Yeah.
So there's a second being that haunts the Badlands. It kind of follows the Banshee around, and they are often seen and heard together. Any guesses on what this
is? Just like Krampus and Santa Claus.
Okay, that's pretty good. Do you have any guesses on what this mysterious violin-loving creature is?
I think it's a kid who got hypnotized.
You think? Okay. So, Killian, no one quite knows where this story began, but there have been enough reports and stories that have led to some truth, that lend some truth to this crazy tale. On lonely nights, people have seen a skeleton wandering the cliffsides, dragging behind him a violin. The legend goes that he's looking for a music to play along to, or even just an audience to enjoy its sad violin solo. So it sounds like the banshee was not the violin that you heard. The banshee was the scream that sent you over, but it sounds like that skeleton, his violin, might have been the one that hypnotized you. So in our story, you came into contact with not one, but two legends and lores. That's crazy, right?
Yeah. It, like, two at the same time. Like, mixed together like this.
Yeah, did you have...
Just like slime.
You didn't know you were gonna... Like, you didn't know we were gonna talk about two today, did you?
Nope.
So, do you want to hear a story about some cowboys who got a little too close to the skeleton of the Badlands?
Yes.
Good. You didn't know you were... It's very exciting. We're getting two cryptids in one story.
Yeah, we're getting two cryptids and...
And two stories in one episode. That's crazy.
We're getting two cryptids too many.
Okay.
Just like you said, three steps too many.
Three steps too many, two cryptids too many. Okay, cool. So this story is called The Cowboys and the Violin.
Ooh, that's I like that title.
Yeah, that was good, right? The cattle and the three horses were grazing the small patches of grass that dotted the Badlands. The sound of laughter, saloon songs, and harmonicas echoed out across the wide, empty landscape. Three men sat spread out around a roaring fire, passing around a canteen to each other. Two young cowboys had blue bandanas around their necks, and one older cowboy had a green bandana around his. Each of them were covered in dust, dried sweat, and they smelled like, well, you can kind of probably guess it.
I can guess.
They were not the nicest smelling guys.
I think they smelled like garbage.
Maybe.
Because they were sweating.
They were sweating, they were dealing with the cows and the horses. Yeah, it's a lot. So,
yeah.
During the day, the cliffs and buttes of the Badlands were painted in stripes of bright orange and yellow. But at night, the silver moon played shadows across the earth. The men turned to tell ghost stories to pass the time, and one young cowboy talked about the strange winged devil that he encountered back home in New Jersey. No? Okay. I thought maybe you had something to say about that. The second young cowboy talked about a man made of stolen graveyard body parts. And the older cowboy, who made his way through the Badlands before, told the story about a banshee. He pointed behind his two partners to a tall set of cliffs in the distance and told them that she waits there at night and for anyone who is foolish enough to approach her. The two cowboys looked at each other to see if the other one had been frightened by their friend's story. Playing it cool, they all agreed that it was time to get some rest. Just as they lay their heads down on their bedrolls, they heard the soft sound of a violin ring out into the night. The three men stood up quickly. They were at least a day's ride away from the closest town, so there shouldn't have been any violin player for miles. The men looked around as the sound began to pick up speed. The cattle and the horses, completely unaware of the music as they chewed on. One of the men screamed and pointed, and the other two grabbed their pistols. Dancing among the blissful cattle, a violin beneath its jaw and a bow in its ivory fingers, a human skeleton had made its way forward. Too afraid to shoot him and hit the cattle, the men stared in disbelief. As the skeleton danced, closer and closer, the music grew faster and faster until it was nothing more than a shrill score. The men were enthralled. They couldn't move, frozen in horror. The skeleton danced right up between... Yeah, for sure. The skeleton danced right up between the men and stood within the embers of their fire. The violin played one final note, and then a deafening silence. What do you think happened?
I think they got way too scared.
Yeah, you think? Okay. So the morning sun was warm as the two young men woke, sitting up trying to piece together if their visitor from the night before was real or just a hallucination of the canteen. And they quickly realized that their older partner was missing. Easy to see, a trail of boot prints wandering away from the camp, a pair of skeleton footprints dancing in swirls and circles just ahead of their partner's path. The two young cowboys followed the steps until it was led to the edge of a cliff. The skeletal prints stopped just short of the cliffside, and the two young cowboys assumed that the skeleton stood and played by the cliff for a long time on account for the erratic footprints in one place. The older cowboy's prints led all the way to the edge of the cliff and appeared to go beyond solid ground. The two young men inched forward nervously to the edge and stole a look down. 100 feet below lay the disconnected pieces of a skeleton. But this skeleton was unlike the one that they had seen the night before. No, this skeleton had a green bandana around his neck. What do you think?
I melted off my face.
I melted off your face? Wow. So what do you think of the skeleton in our story?
I think that it was the best character.
You liked the skeleton. He was pretty good.
Yeah, I like the skeleton because he's got the best violin lessons in the world.
Yeah? Okay, and then what do you think about the banshee? Because we did talk about two cryptids today, or two folklores today.
I don't like Batman's banshee.
You don't like her? Is she scary or you just don't like the story?
I just don't like her because she killed a bunch of people. Because she killed a bunch of the people.
You know what? That is fair. So, Killian?
Yeah, I think she's way too violent.
Way too violent. Okay, that's fair. Well, Killian, that's all we have for stories and cryptids today. Thank you for listening, everyone. What do you want to say? You want to say anything else before we close the episode? Oh, you're playing the violin? Very nice. Thank you for listening. I am Karina.
I am Killian.
And this has been
The Cryptid Catalog.
Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beemisterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beemisterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grown-ups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.